In the Acts of the Apostles, we read that the Jewish court, the Sanhedrin, had some officers bring in the apostles and made them stand for questioning. They said, "We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you want to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles said in reply, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." They left the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of Christ's name. Brothers and sisters, how many times and in how many instances do we find ourselves when our faith, our Christian beliefs, our Christian practices are attacked, they're mocked or ridiculed by other people? And then how many times and in how many instances we find ourselves where you and I need to stand bold and to lovingly speak to others about Christ, to speak to others about the church, our faith, or to speak out to defend another person? How many times are we called upon to correct errors, to teach others to reject evil and to do good instead? That is, to speak to others of the life, the words, the goodness of Jesus, and instead of doing these things, we allow others, or we allow our own fear or embarrassment or our fear of shame to keep us silent. We cannot do that. We must obey God rather than men, and ourselves rejoice to be found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. There's a quote from an English writer named Evelyn Beatrice Hall, which sounds like it came from one of our American founding fathers. It didn't. It actually came from an English writer, but the quote is this: "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." In the culture in which you and I live, that's not the case. The quote of today is, "If I disapprove of what you say, then you're wrong and I'm right, and you must be silenced. No one can listen to you, they must listen to me." In the Jewish faith, now, as in the time of Jesus, there were various interpretations of the law of Moses, the commandments, and the scriptures, and thus you had various schools of thought. For example, we read about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They both had differing ways of approaching the scriptures, but even though you had various schools of thought in Judaism at Christ's time, there was still one priesthood in the temple. There was one temple in Jerusalem to carry out the unchanging rituals as God commanded in the law. But Jewish teaching was up for argument and debate. The rituals were not. Thus you have the old Jewish proverb, "Two Jews, three opinions." And that's just how it was. And it still is among the Jewish people, except that there is no more temple. The Eucharist, the Mass, has replaced the temple sacrifices. Among the Jewish people, Jesus' time, it was like that. Two Jews, three opinions, and of course they kept on arguing about the law and how it was to be interpreted. That was until the apostles began to speak of Jesus. They called him Rabbi. And you would think that in the multiplicity of Jewish opinion, the words of Jesus would just be another Jew's word. But no, we can't have any of that. These men must be silenced and never speak of that name or his teachings ever again. So the question needs to be asked, why not? What threat does Jesus pose? Truth. Jesus, quite simply, gave humanity the truth. He is the Word of God. He is the Word of God made flesh, and he came to make known everything that God wants us to know about himself and about us and our relationship to him. In human opinion, we can run and hide from the truth. We can hide behind arguments and disputations. But when Jesus spoke and spoke plainly, it was quite evident. In Scripture, they even say this. His teaching was like nobody else's. He spoke with authority unlike the scribes and the rabbis and the scholars of his own time. Jesus came to bring light, and light dispels darkness, light exposes falsehood, and the truth of Jesus Christ calls us to a higher standard, the standard of holiness, which was not being done in his own time, nor by human opinion today. Jesus said at his trial before Pontius Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth," Jesus says, "listens to my voice." Then Pilate asked him what so many people ask today, "What is truth?" Jesus is. As he himself said so many times in the gospel, he is truth, he is life. And those who believe his truth follow his way and they live his life. "He who has my commandments," Jesus says, "and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who does not love me does not keep my words." There is only one Jesus, and with Jesus there is only one truth. And that one truth was and has been preached and taught by the apostles. That truth was taught by them, inspired and guided by the Spirit of truth, that is, the Holy Spirit, from the day of Pentecost down to today, through the bishops of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church as successors to the apostles. As Catholics, like the Jews, we may have many human opinions about our faith. But unlike the Jews, we have the authority of Catholic and Apostolic teaching, which throughout the ages has clarified what is the mere opinion of men and what is the Christian truth in doctrine and in practice. As Catholics, we are not free to pick and choose or invent our own quote-unquote truths, but instead we must lovingly submit, accept, and believe the practice and practice the saving truth of Jesus Christ as revealed by him in sacred scripture and the teachings of the Holy Catholic Church that he founded. Why? It is so that you and I and all Catholics throughout the world may be united as one body, one flock, under one shepherd, which is exactly what Jesus prayed for at the Last Supper. As taught by St. Paul, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is Father of all. We do this out of love. Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Why? Because St. Peter three times denied Jesus after Christ was arrested after the Last Supper. We deny Christ all the time, but he looks at you and me and he asks us the very same question. He looks at us in the eye, his gaze burning deeply into our souls, and he asks you and me, "Do you love me?" Our answer obviously should be, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And just as Jesus did the apostles, he calls you and me to be fishers of men, that is, to gather the nations to come and to be fed by his truth. Notice that in the gospel, they pulled up 153 large fish. Why is it so specific, 153? The Greek biologists of that time identified in Jesus' day in the first century 153 species of fish, which means that the apostles caught one of every kind of fish there was to catch. That goes with what Jesus tells the apostles: "Go into all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always until the end of the age." Today, of course, we realize there's more than 153 species of fish, but the truth remains that Jesus wants us to go to every man, every woman, every child of every nation, every race, every people, every language, and to bring them the saving truth of the gospel. We do this by our love, by our practices, our faith, our will, our actions, everything about us that must always speak of the truth of Jesus Christ who lives in us. He calls you and me as fishers of men to bring others to come to feed at his truth, to be fed by his body and blood. He wants us to tenderly, lovingly shepherd his sheep to green pastures, the pastures of grace and truth, to bring our own families, our friends, our spouses, our children, all those we find ourselves with, to bring them to Christ and Christ to them. As human beings, yes, we may struggle with his truth from time to time due to our own personal weaknesses. We may even have to suffer for Christ from the animosity of unbelievers. Others may try to silence us, or perhaps we may even try to silence ourselves. But the truth is, we have the better argument. We have the perfect argument. We have the Word of God Himself, Christ Jesus, who comes to us in the flesh and brings us His saving truth and His saving grace. Let others do whatever they will, let others say whatever they will, but you and I, brothers and sisters, must never stop doing, must never stop saying what Jesus Himself said, what Jesus Himself did. The world, in particular, those who argue against Christ, needs Christ, and He wants us to bring Himself to them. He works, He speaks through us, His body, the church. May we never shirk out of fear from our duty and our responsibility of being faithful to Christ and spreading the gospel. For worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor, glory and blessing. To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might, forever and ever. Amen.